Turn to Proverbs 12, please, verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25. Where is everybody tonight? Empty chairs. Man, makes my heart stoop. Look at chapter 12, verse 25. It says, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. I was sitting on the stoop the other day. Okay, what does it mean? Heaviness in the heart of man makes he stoops. Verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. But Pastor TJ and the girl singing, a good word makes it glad. Amen? I need a good word. How about it? Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. And I want to ask you, does it ever happen to you that you kind of get heavy and you don't know why? Does that ever happen to you? Kind of dumpy, down in the dumps, kind of melancholic, moody. Maybe it's a little bit of news there, a little bit of news there. Little worry over there, little anxiety in the back room over there. And the whole thing put together is a cocktail of stupor. And I get stupored. My heart is stooping. Now, regarding attendance tonight, I'll tell you, when you come here, you make me glad. You do. You build me up. We work hard around here. We need people to come in and listen to us. Okay, you say, you might say, I don't have time. Make time. You say, I can't do it. You can crawl in here. Get in here and be in here. And everybody on the internet, shame on you. And you get in here and fill the house of God. Amen? Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. But a good word makes it glad. Okay? Now, have you ever had a mood come over you and just worried about everything? Things were so good, your worry did go bad. Things have been going good for too long. There must be bad around the corner. Huh? Has it ever happened to you? You worry about this or you worry about that and you get troubled about this and troubled about that. Okay, we made the point. All right, you can go home now. God bless you. Okay, look at verse 25 one more time. The heaviness in the heart of man, say it with me. Heaviness in the heart of man. Let's stop right there. Turn to your neighbor and just say something about heaviness. Go ahead. Rather not. Better not do it. Go ahead. Heaviness. What? Yeah. Heaviness. What is it? Pastor Dwayne? Dwight? Pastor Dwight? Pat? Steve? Heaviness? Anybody? Perio? Phil? Zane? See, you people don't know what about it. Over on this side, Adam, heaviness makes the heart stoop. My girlfriend doesn't love me anymore. I got a parking ticket. My car is broken down. The tires are worn out. Nobody calls me. I had a birthday. No card. Nothing. They forgot all about it. Not one person cared about me. And heaviness in the heart of man. I've been a big diet on the news networks. I've been on the internet day and night. I've been studying, and my heart is stooping. I go to church, and my heart is troubled. Look at Psalm 77 with me, please. Psalm 77. And I'm going to have you all stand up and give a St. Patrick's Day jig in a minute. Pastor Love will lead us in it. Now look at 77. I had a wound and it was running in the night. That's an effusion, maybe, of a running sore an infection in my body, and I complain. Look at verse 2, Psalm 77. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. An infection. A sore arm or shoulder. An infected foot. A joint worn out. I refuse to be comforted. Verse 3. I remembered God. And guess what? It didn't help. Look at verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Do you know what? In the 19th century, there was virtually no psychology teaching. 19th century, 1800, 1700, nothing about psychology, but listen to me. When you had a pastor in a village in Europe or in the United States preaching from this Bible, they didn't have to know the psychology. God is the health of the spirit of man. God is the health of the soul of man. A lot of people need to be told, just get up, knock it off, and get going, and believe God. And they would say, but I remember God, and I was troubled. And we say, we understand. Sometimes the thought of God is linked with my failure as a believer. When I think of God, I think of how much I don't love him. When I think of God, I think of how much I don't pray. When I think of God, I think of how much I have failed in doing what he'd like me to do. When I think of God, I condemn myself automatically. When I think of God, I am troubled. I am in more trouble than I was before. This says I have trouble in my body, trouble in my soul, and my spirit is overwhelmed. There it is. That's what it says. Read it tonight or all week long if you'd like. Will the Lord cast off? Look at verse. I am so troubled I cannot speak. Verse 4. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient. I'm so troubled I cannot speak. I want to add, I am so troubled I can't go to church. I am so troubled I cannot make a phone call. I am so troubled and I am stooping. I am in heaviness. This is the idea of this psalm. But he makes his way. He makes his way. I call to remembrance the days, my son, verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I remembered Abraham, and I remembered Isaac and Jacob. I remembered Joseph in jail. I remember God delivering. I remember who God is. It's coming back fresh to me. Then it says, I commune, verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. I've started to search. I know God is there somewhere. I know God is a strength in my heart. I know God will quicken my spirit. I know God is there somewhere. It's not a mechanical formula. I know God is there somehow. Somewhere God will hear my cry. I know God is here and he will help me. He will deliver me. Look at verse 7. I will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Verse 9. These are great words. Yeah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse 10, I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. the right hand. Who is at God's right hand? Christ. Five times in the New Testament, he's seated at the right hand of God. And by the way, he cannot fall off his chair. I want you to look at one point, 1 Samuel chapter 1. You follow this with me because we're going to get rolling here in a minute. Oh, Pestle, if you want to do the Irish jig? Okay, wait a minute. We got to do it. St. Patrick's Day. Let's all stand for a second. I got you going. I got you going. Let's go, Pastor. Go ahead. We got to do something. Come on. Yeah, we know. Who knows? Come on. Let's go. Okay, come on. Hey, St. Patrick's Day. Amen. How many of you are Irish? Irish. Okay, everybody in the left side of the room. Goats and sheep. The Irish are the goats over here. All right. All right. Huh? Pastor Aiden, okay. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. Amen, hallelujah, you may be seated. That's the end of that. Hell yeah. Okay. 1 Samuel. I don't know, I've never thought of this before, but in my meditation today, I thought about this chair. Chapter 1, verse Samuel, chapter 1, verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Do we see that? Eli the priest sat upon a seat. Now listen to me. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there were no chairs. There are no seats for the priest to sit down. Eli is a priest. He's the priest of the tabernacle. And by the post, there was a chair where he sat, right? And he was the priest. But technically, there were to be no seats there because the work is not finished. When a priest offers the blood, he can't sit down. He has to work and he serves, but it's not finished. There is no seat and there's no furniture. There's table. There's a table of incense. There's the lampstand. There is the ark. There's the blood. There's the ark of the covenant. But there is no chair. No, he sits on another chair. Now look at chapter, you know, the part there, chapter 4. Eli was 98 years old. Chapter 4, verse 15. His eyes were dim. He could not see. Oh, I'm happy I'm in Bible tonight. I'm happy that you're here listening. I'm happy that these words are eternal words. And that Eli was 98 years old, his eyes were dim, he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I have come out of the army, I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? The messenger answered, Israel has fled before the Philistines. There has been a great slaughter. Your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. Bad news. Real bad news. And it came to pass when he made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate and his neck brake and he died. He was an old man and he was also heavy and he judged Israel 40 years. This priest is different from our priest. For our priest is seated at the right hand of God. And he's not 90 years old. He's eternal. His eyes are not dim. He sees everything. He cannot fall backward and break his neck. He's been raised from the dead. We have another word tonight. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop, but a good word makes it glad. And here's a good word. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And we have one of the most amazing portions of Scripture that a believer could ever memorize and hide in his heart. These are words that lift us up and encourage us. When our garments are filthy like Joshua, when our mood is negative like some of you here tonight, when I am discouraged like I could be, and you and I, and we're facing death, and we sit in a chair, and we could fall over backwards and break our neck because it is stiff. Okay? A stiff neck breaks. Pride is how we are broken. But regardless of all that, and all that terrible side and news in Psalm 77, my sore runs in the night, my soul is depressed, my spirit is overwhelmed when I think of God. But not this God. Listen to this God. Chapter 8, verse 28. We know all things work together for good to them that love God. Another way of saying it, to those that are saved. I could prove it to you in the text in some measure, but that is exactly the meaning. To them who are called according to his purpose, everything works for good. Everything works for good to the child of God. For whom he did foreknow, verse 29, he also did predestinate. We could not get any deeper than God's foreknowledge. That God has chosen you. God has saved you. God has made your life secure. This is a good word that makes us glad. Whatever makes our hearts stoop, it is what it is. There are chairs that people sit in, and they are not the chair that Christ is sitting in. There are people that fall over backwards and break their neck, but there is a Messiah, a Savior, the King of Kings. There is the Christ who says that because of me, then everything works together for good in your life. That's what he said, and it makes glad the heart of man. When you hear the gospel and realize the finished work and realize who God is not condemning you. Romans 8, verse 1. God is not against you. He's your best friend. God is not picking you apart and condemning you and making you feel guilty. Sometimes the thought of God does overwhelm and my spirit. How did he say? My spirit is overwhelmed when I think of God. So I need to go to God, the God of grace, not the God of law, the God of grace and love, the God of mercy, the God that says these things. Listen to them. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And that word throws us off sometimes. Some people think like this. I walked over here. Was that predestinated that I walked over there? I walked over here again. Was that predestinated? No. The only person that ever lived in every footstep was predestinated. Everything was Christ because he always obeyed the Father. Everything was in the Father's will. Everything. But my life, these things, it's nothing to do with I went over there and it was predestinated. I came back over here and it was predestinated. This is deeper. This is that at the end of the story, end game, is that you and I are conformed to the image of Christ, guaranteed. Look at verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. You got to get stirred up in the meaning of those words. You and I just let it seep in and get the feeling of what it is he's saying. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If we had the time, we could go over it a bit. They are extraordinary things, incredible things. The only way I can say it is a man is sitting on a chair on the earth. He hears the bad news. He's heavy. He falls back. He breaks his neck and he dies. That's that story. Jesus comes into the world, dies on the cross, raised from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, and there's no way that he could be taken down. There's no way that he could fall off that chair. There's no way that he could be demoted or put down in a lower place. There's no way that he could ever die. There's no way that he could ever accuse you and I. There's no way that you and I could ever be held in. It would be double jeopardy if he is judged for my sin and then he judges me for my sin. That cannot happen. If he was judged for my sin, then I am not judged for my sin. We are free. Okay, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, just who could be against us? It's time to whoop it up. It's time to have a jig. It's time to say, whoa. It's time to say, yeah, devil cannot. Remember you standing at the right hand of the high priest in Joshua, in Zechariah chapter 3. And it says Joshua was clothed with filthy garments. And the meaning there in Jewish mind is this is human excrement is on his clothes. And he smells and urine is in his garments, and he's the high priest. And Satan is at his right hand accusing him and saying, you are filthy. And he could say, I am. And Satan could say, and God has rejected you. You are filthy by law of Moses. You are unclean. And he could say, I am. And then it says, and then there was a voice, and the angel said, change his clothes. Change his clothes. Change his clothes. Listen, heaviness in my heart makes me stoop, and maybe it's because I smell my bad clothes. Maybe because I'm sitting on a chair where I could tip over. Maybe it's because I'm filled with myself. Maybe that's the meaning of his heaviness. He's filled with himself and his own disappointments and problems. But this is different. This is different. This is different. This is God. This is Christ. What does it matter when you hear these words? He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. What about that? Everything else is dim in the eyes of his glorious grace and his great mercy. And he says, I am for you and never against you. If I spared not my own son, how shall I not with him freely give you all things? Verse 32. Look at it. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? But, Lord, Jesus is saying, come on. It's like you're saying, you know, you go to the tomb and you kind of stumble a little bit and your shoe is untied and you go to the tomb and he is risen and you're saying, my shoe. Huh? My shoe. Huh? Talk to me. My shoe. And the Peter is saying, where is he? Mary is saying, he is risen. Hey, I have seen him. Hey, Rabboni. And the whole story. And we're crying about our shoe or a mood we have or something. Get out of your mood by faith. Step over it. Reckon on the one that is seated at the right hand. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that has justified you. Take a nap. Cool it. Chill out. Receive grace. Understand me. Receive from me. Go to the church and sit there and get built up. A good word makes your heart glad. I need good words. That's why I'm here tonight. That's why we do what we do. That's why we do it day and night, and we are serious about it for more than 40 years. We've been having meetings and preaching Christ and sharing the message and building up people in the most holy faith. That young man who is on the video tonight, Pastor Thomas Bilicek, who's the coach of the New England Patriots? Bilicek, is it B-U? He's the other one, Bilicek. I said, which one are you? You better not be the Patriot guy. He goes, no, I am Bilicek. He is Bulicek. So he knows the difference. And I don't know if it's the other way around or what it is. And I don't really care. He is at the right hand of God. Look at verse 33. Who shall lay anything? Verse 34. And this is the four things, and I'm going to finish. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. And Paul goes with this next phrase, yea, rather. It was Christ that died, that would be enough. God took our sin, that would be enough, we're free. But he goes, Christ died, yea, rather. He's pouring it on now. He is risen again. Then he goes, who is even? He's pouring it on at the right hand of God. And he is seated there at the right hand of God in a place where the Jewish law could never have a priest sit down. But Christ said it is finished and means he's seated. There is no more work to do on our behalf. It is finished. Who makes, then the fourth thing, he makes intercession for us. He is praying for you. On a Monday morning, he is praying for you. On a Tuesday night, he is praying for you. He is praying. He makes intercession for us. He is on our side. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Verse 35. Shall tribulation separate us? And he goes through a long litany of experiences on the earth and in the demonic realm. And there just, he cannot find anything that could ever separate us from his love. Let God love you. Just let God love you. Let God speak to you based on the finished work. A good word makes our heart glad. We need good words. We are in a difficult world. We need good words and just kind of shake it off and receive what it is that God says to you about you and be encouraged in it. And look at verse 35, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Yes, those things exist, even, yes, for the believer. The believer may be naked, he may be in a famine, he may be in a prison cell, he may be persecuted, he may be slaughtered like the Islamic ISIS murderers who beheaded those Egyptian Christians and while ago. Yes, they are led like sheep to the slaughter, verse 36. We are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, verse 37. No, it doesn't really matter. He has risen and he's at the right hand. Yay. Rather, he died, and yea, rather, he is risen. Yea, even more, he's at the right hand of God, and he prays for us. That good word makes my heart glad. I need to enter this coming week with a fortification in my spirit. If you are a man of God and a woman of God and you're giving your heart daily in your attitude to God, whatever capacity you are living in, then these words are words of life. And they edify us and build us up in the most holy faith. Nay, verse 37, he must have been Danish. Nay, or how do they say it, Pastor Pete, in the helmet? Same way, nay. Yeah, this is, I thought this was English. Nay, say it out loud. Nay, nay, we'll be brought to the slaughter, and it looks like we're dust, we're nothing, we're toasted. No, don't be deceived, though our blood is in the ground. We are not there. We are with him. We are absent from the body, present with the Lord, for he overcame death. And he does not condemn us. He justifies us. He has not made us guilty. Every day of our life, we are as he is, even as we are in this present evil world. 1 John 4:19. God is for us, and if he is, then who could be against us? What does a sword do? Just brings me immediately into the presence of God. What does it matter? He is risen. Everything is changed now. 38. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present nor things to come, whatever it may be, height or depth or any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Great stuff. This is what builds a church, builds a believer. This is why we went to Poland. That's why we have body life. This is why we encourage each other. This is why it's hard to say goodbye to each other at night. Bye, see you later. See you. Okay, bye. Wait a minute. Just wanted to say one more thing. Okay, bye, see you. You're out in the parking lot. Hey, hi. How are you doing? Hey, God bless you. Hey, and it takes us an hour to get home. That is why it's a good word. I need a good word from God. I need a good word that is deep. I need not a phony word, a plastic word. I need God's reality. I need God to speak to me right where we are living, because life sometimes can be messy. But we are not seated on a chair where we can fall over and break our neck. We are seated with him in heavenly places on a seat that is sure and secure. We are with our God, and when we are with our God, we do valiantly. We are encouraged and loved by him always, and he will never fail us. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Here's the invitation. If you're here tonight or on the internet listening and you don't have Jesus in your life, now's the time. Now's the time. He could come back tonight. Where would you be without him? You could face a car accident, God forbid, but or a disease or something. Now's the time. Now's the time. Don't make an excuse or put it off. Now's the time. Put your trust in him. He loves you. And he's for you. And if you be you're serious with God, God is real serious with you. He is serious with you anyway. But if you are serious with him, he will actually show how awesome he is to you. Yes. Don't have 2 feet in the world. Have one, one foot in the kingdom of God and 1 foot in the world. Have both feet solidly in the kingdom of God, and you'll run real good in the world. You'll manage real good. You'll do fine. God will show you and help you and guide you and lead you and take care of you. Say, Jesus, I believe in you personally. Anyone, raise your hand. Jesus, I believe in you personally. Anyone at all? Raise your hand. Okay. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. We pray for the theater that it would be filled out every night. We pray for our activity the next 2 weeks to just spread the word as much as we can, invite people here. And may God save souls. Every day be praying for the play. Every day, think about it, the play. The play. The tickets are at the booth out the door. And share it. Put up a sign on your lawn if you want to. But just share the message and bring people in. Father, bless and multiply in your name. Amen.